everyone. It's Thursday. I'm Andrew Dowd. Time for our Happening in the Hamptons podcast, our weekly breakdown of the Hamptons market, new listings, and events on the East End. We are sponsored today by New York Title Abstract, the Hamptons' leading title insurance firm. Visit newyorktitle.com. We have Steve Glick, Dave Retainer, and today, Miss Sarah Minardi, a return guest. Hello. Welcome back.
Thank you.
How are you?
Doing great, thanks.
Busy. I know you're busy. You're always busy. But you have kind of an interesting topic. I don't think we've covered anything related to this.
It's a significant change. So this is in, I'm talking about the property condition disclosure statement, or the PCDS. So the property disclosure condition disclosure statement is something that came about in 2002. And as there's three duties involved, as an agent or as real estate professional, we are supposed to give this document over to sellers. Sellers are then supposed to fill it out, and then they're supposed to give it to their attorney, and their attorney gives it to the buyer for the buyer's attorney. So, but what there's two important changes to this. What has always happened in the past is there has been an opt-out. And attorneys, for the most part, have said to their clients after real estate agents give them the PCDS, and our directive has always been, here's this document, give it to your attorney, speak with your attorney about it. The attorneys have always, for the most part, as practice, gone with the opt-out instead of having their client fill this out and maybe fill it out incorrectly or not to the best of their knowledge. The attorneys have said, you know what, guess what? There's an opt-out. You can pay $500 at closing as a credit to the buyer. The buyer gets that at closing, and you know, hands are wiped clean, and that's the end of that. Okay. Nothing goes on after that. So this has been in existence since 2002, and that's been the general practice. What happened yesterday is, as of March 20th, 2024, this opt-out is now gone.
The
seller cannot opt out of filling out the property condition disclosure statement anymore. There's new questions in it that pertain to flood insurance, flood disclosure, that kind of thing. The reason why that came about was because it was deemed that New York State's flood risk disclosure law got a failing grade. So the legislature added that to the PCDS. And so sellers now have to fill out that information.
So can you back it up? What information is on this PCDS?
Okay,
what is this
thing? I will tell you. Oof. Seven pages,
and
it is...
Give me some questions. 56
questions.
All
about the property condition.
Okay.
The answers are either yes, no, unknown, or not applicable. So
it's like for a home inspection.
So a question I'm looking, is lead plumbing present?
Yes. So very interesting. a lot of this, the information that I've received and the things that I've read up about this is there's a lot of ambiguity to this wow. disclosure statement, unfortunately, which the legislature didn't intend, but, you know, you can look at a home inspector can look at the piping in a house for plumbing and can see whether, you know, if it's lead or not, but up until something like 1988, they used lead in soldering. So,
I understand.
You know, there's a lot of...
I mean, there's a lot in here, like how old's the roof, you know, any known defects. So
right.
all this stuff,
right.
I'm a homeowner. I have no idea
right.
half of these questions. So what's the advice to sellers? Like, okay. How do I fill this out? Oh, well, you're handing me this seven...
Are you advising them? No, you would hire...
I would not advise. Nope. As an agent, I do not help.
Would you say to the audience, like, if any agent starts advising you, that's not a good real estate agent?
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed.
Got it.
So the thing to know about this PCDS is that it's not only required that the seller fill it out, it's required that it be given to the buyer and the buyer's attorney prior to the contract being fully executed. Uh-huh. So it must be done. So the thing to know is, as a seller, you're putting your house on the market for sale. Mm-hmm. You need to fill out this disclosure statement. You need to fill it out as accurately as possible. The most accurate way to get it filled out is to have a seller's inspection prior to putting your house on the market.
And I was just going to say that.
Hands and
they won't
down.
Go in the contract if this isn't filled
you
out.
You cannot have a fully executed contract of sale on your home without this statement being filled out.
So the script is kind of flipped in terms of advice, because usually the buyer gets the inspection.
Buyer always gets the inspection. The attorney will not change anything with that. A buyer wants to get an inspection. It's caveat emptor. It's buyer beware. You need to know what you're buying.
Yeah. But let me ask you this. If the seller hires an inspector to aid in filling this out, doesn't that give the buyer a sense of, you know, security?
Of course. I think and any seller who does do that and abides by my advice,
kind of a smart idea.
Seller's inspection. We saw this a lot after the mortgage, you know, industry crashed. And in 08, 09, many owners were getting their own home inspection so that they could preemptively know what needed to be fixed and fix it if it needed to be done. Sure. Or they could price their home accordingly, whereby a buyer would come in, guess what? Here's the home inspection. Here's everything you need to know. That's why I priced it this way. The roof is 30 years old. We need a new roof. That's why the price is da-da-da. Here's everything you need to know. Guess what? It's going to make it that much easier for a buyer to step up and make an offer because of the reason that you've got all the information in front of you.
If a buyer sees this and goes to make the offer, is it still wise for them to get their own inspection?
Hands down. They definitely, it's on their plate, and their attorney isn't going to advise them otherwise to get a home inspection. Because, you know, look, the seller hired that person to do the home inspection. The buyer should hire their person to do the home inspection.
Sure.
And the thing about this, which I think is really interesting, is it's only this whole situation. You got to do it as a seller. It's mandatory. You want to get into contract. You want to get into a contract as quickly as possible. Have this done. Have it ready. And the buyer, it's going to make it that much easier for a buyer to step up and make an offer. It's going to be that much easier for you to sell your home.
It goes back to the representation thing with a good real estate agent. It's like, if you have Sarah on your side, she just gets all these ducks in a row. The New York Title Report, you know, the CNRs, this.
You should get a survey done in advance. You need to just know if your property is over cleared.
A seamless transaction. You want a seamless transaction.
You never want to be in that position where the buyer. You never want to be in that position where the buyer says, can I do this? And the response is, I'll get back to you.
Right. Yeah. You know, because
you never want to be in that position as a seller.
Time is money. And the more things that a seller can do in advance of getting that offer, they're going to end up spending less money on their attorney fees.
Yep.
They're going to spend less money, you know, having their wheels spun because a buyer now wants to get a roof, you know, inspection to find out what the cost is going to be for the repair or replacement. It's only going to be feathers in a seller's cap to have those red flags dealt with in advance.
If somebody wants to buy, you know, no contingent, right? Like just as is, no contingency, that's still got to be filled out, I guess doesn't really matter. Because
the real thing is it all comes down to, it's not even, the real issue is not even the during the contract, and it's after the fact. It's all the potential issues after the fact. And that's what attorneys are going to be worried about. And that's why the sellers always were advised to pay that $500 credit at closing, because you didn't want things to then come up later on. And really, and we're not talking about chasing down so-and-so contractor down in, you know, Boca who had shoddy work as far as, you know,
the siding or something.
The siding or the sheetrock. We're talking about foundations.
Right.
We're talking about
flood zones. Flooding.
The flood zone stuff, that's all, like, you can find that all out online. You know what between the EPA and the whatnot. You can see where the flood zone is. You can see what all that sort of thing. But those after the fact big issues are going to be extremely litigious for buyers after the fact. If they find something really bad that happened,
They can go out. They can go after the seller if that's not.
Yeah.
So I got a question, Sarah. So you said this goes into effect yesterday. So I have something in contract. It's closing in a month from now.
Ooh, what Steve happens? With the curveball.
Yeah. I don't have the answer to that. If the contract has already been signed, it's either, I almost feel I'll go on the conservative side, and it almost feels to me like they still have to have it.
I feel like they still have to do it because that $500 credit happens at closing table.
It happens at closing.
Yeah. So if that's no longer available, then they're going to have to fill this out. So I feel like, check with the powers that be. You may have,
Speak with your attorney.
Yeah. Real estate agents may have to go back to their sellers and say, hey,
speak with your attorney. The attorneys should have been, they have had plenty of advanced warning on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the law.
Yep.
The property condition disclosure statement, it needs to be filled out. It's the law. Everything changed as of yesterday. The repeal of the opt-out is gone. And I think it's interesting to note that the $500 credit at closing, when this whole thing came about, this disclosure statement, the $500 credit is pretty much in line with what a home inspection cost at that time in 2002. Home inspection cost about $500.
Mm-hmm.
So, that not was anymore. Where the whole
That's what it was back
from.
Then, right? Yep, yeah.
Back then.
Not anymore.
Depending on the size of the house. It's very interesting.
All right. Well, this is great information. And I feel that, you have a good knowledge about it. You're well-versed in it. You're advising your sellers.
Yeah. I feel like you could almost teach it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great knowledge. I mean, like, kudos to you for understanding it and breaking it down for us. So anyone that's listening, I'm sure this podcast would be shared many times because people don't understand it.
People need to share and they need to understand. And It's another point of when you're going on a sales pitch for a seller, you got to just let them know. I mean, the more information, the more education you can give your seller and also your buyer at the onset, the more trust they'll have in you and they'll work with you. So.
All right. Let's talk about the numbers.
We got a good week, guys.
All right.
So this past week, it's been a busy March. I'd say it's one of the most active Marches I've ever seen here in the Hamptons. And over the past week is no different. There were 30 listings that went into contract from West Hampton to Montauk. Last year, there were 27. That's an increase of 11%. In 2022, there were 40 listings that went into contract in 1 week. So compared to this week, that's a decrease of 25%. But the breakdown of the 30 transactions this week, there is one between 10 and 20, three between 5 and 10 million, three between 3 and 5 million, seven between 2 and 3 million, 12 between 1 and 2 million, and four under a million. The dollar volume this past week was $87 million. Last year was $61 million. So that's an increase of 43%. In 2022, the dollar volume was $144 million. That's a decrease of 24%. New listings coming onto the market, 35. Came onto the market. So with 30 going into the contract, that increases the inventory by 5 listings. And the breakdown of the 35 new listings, all different price categories and some significant properties came onto the market. There were 2 over 20 million, 11 between 10 and 20 million. So, that's 13 properties over $10 million that came on the market.
Well, that's what you were saying about March. We were watching them come through. We were like, oh my goodness, that went into contract. It was like, wow.
Coming on. So
10 million plus properties. It was kind of strange.
So now we have 13 over 10 coming onto the market.
Some people are having some good days out there.
6 between 5 and 10, 3 between 3 and 5, 3 between 2 and 3, 7 between 1 and 2, 3 under a million. The inventory stands at 1,829 total listings, 1,403 active, and 426 in contract. So a good week to see listings going into contract, new listings coming onto the market. It's a robust inventory. Market going on. It's balanced. So this is a good thing to see as we head into spring. It's now spring.
Yeah,
it's spring.
What's an unbelievable property you have, Sarah, is the 18 Skim.
I know. It is unbelievable. let me talk about it. 18 Skim Hampton Road in East Hampton, south of the highway. This is the 10th home built by Bluefin General Contracting. an epitome of construction on the East End. Always they build to sell, but build custom. So,
and the quality,
the
right?
Quality, the site, the siting, the landscaping, the every, all the choices are stunning. It's been staged very thoughtfully, and there are things about it, like all the light fixtures were purchased by the builder. They stay. All the closets are built out. It's ready to go. We've been having so much activity on it, and somebody's going to get an incredible house. And the other thing to note is that the builder is so hands-on. I mean, he really hangs around with the new buyers after the fact to help in any way, shape, or form. And it's primo.
And he's not the new kid on the block anymore. He's been doing this a while now.
Beautiful, beautiful product. So 18 Skimhampton Road in East Hampton South. It's on the market for $10,499,000. I'm happy to show it to you and get you in.
This place is really nice.
You talked about the staging. We toured it.
Vesta staged it. Stunning. Yeah,
we toured it, and the lower level with the poker table.
With the poker table. And the
Mike Tyson painting. Yeah. It was like, this is so cool.
No, it's Muhammad Ali. Close. Yeah, it's very, it's really chic. And just the amount of thought and money and everything that went into it to make it just a premier option for buyers today is really fantastic.
I would just buy this furnished if I had $10.5 million.
It's
nice. It's like ready to go.
It's ready to go.
And is this next to or backs up to farmland or reserve?
So it backs up to almost 45 acres of an agricultural conservation easement that's with the Peconic Land Trust.
Oh, nice.
It's owned by a family over there that's had it for ages and ages. I don't quote me on this, but I think that might be the property where all the former, structures that are now East Hampton Town Hall, like town.
Oh, really? Where they moved it?
Think it might be, all those structures might be from that property. Oh. I haven't researched it enough, but I know those were donated from the DeMeneils.
I forgot about that.
The DeMeneil family, and it was off of a huge property off of Further Lane. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but it's close by.
We'll call it a potential fun fact.
Yes.
Okay.
Fun fact.
Potential fun fact. That's great. Okay, so 18 Skimhampton. Dave. What's happening this weekend?
Spring.
We're in the spring.
Springtime.
It's cold today, but whatever.
One thing to do this weekend that the whole world must do, and it's go to the Montauk St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Oh, yeah, Sunday.
That's gotta love March.
I'll be marching in it with the Girl Scouts.
You're marching with the Girl Scouts?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We bought four.
Did you bring cookies today?
Cookies.
Yeah.
I have a couple.
I do have cookies in my car, but they are delivery for other people.
You can
still get them. You can still get them online, everyone.
We got some tag-alongs in the back.
Oh,
that I've
my
been
favorite.
Hammering with peanut butter. Oh my god.
Oh good. So
just dip them like
you put
into
them on
peanut butter.
You put peanut butter on top.
It's such like a.
You have a method, right?
I go beyond my calorie count in one bite, but I basically take a tag along and then I dip it into peanut butter, and then just hammer the whole thing in one bite. It's for the protein.
Okay.
You need the peanut butter.
That's
for the
excellent.
Protein.
Excellent source of protein.
Yeah. Excellent source of
and
protein.
You're supporting the Girl Scouts at the same time. So it's all beneficial.
Yes.
To the community.
If you've never been, Montauk comes alive during the St. Patrick's Day Parade. It is a lot of fun, and I would say it's like family fun. It's not just
St. Patrick's Day fun.
Yeah, it's definitely family fun, as well as, party fun as well. But 40,000 to 50,000 people show up.
Really?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do not trust the weather. So if you're like, we're going to go and the weather says 55 degrees and you're trying to break out your vest or something.
Nope.
No.
Because the wind,
that ocean wind over in Montauk will just rip right through you. So
what day is this on?
Dress like it's winter.
It's on Sunday.
Sunday. Oh, good.
It's not that's good. Because I think Saturday doesn't look so great. Okay, great. Sunday.
Yeah. And so have a good time.
Yeah.
Sunday.
I'm going to go. I mean, how do I not go?
I'll see you out there, Dave.
Yeah, how do I not go? So that'll be fun. Then This caught my eye because I associate you with this place. Are you still involved with the LVIS?
Of course. Okay. Yes. Right. Ladies Village Improvement Society of East Hampton.
All right. So LVIS has the Easter egg hunt on Saturday. So on March 23rd at 11 a.m.
Well, they might change that.
Oh, they will.
I don't know. The rain's the rain.
Yeah. We'll see. Watch out for the rain, I guess. Or reach out to Sarah.
Sure.
You know,
sure. My number's everywhere. Yes. You can find me.
Yes. But there's an Easter egg hunt from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And, you know, got to support LVIS. LVIS is a great, great spot. And it's actually a pretty good place to get clothes too.
Like really
the,
great.
It's all the really people of the Hamptons. They donate their clothes to resell at LVIS, so you can catch like some pretty unbelievable deals there. If
I have a fun story, just real quick on that. At the LVIS thrift shops, there was one. I worked there for a little while as a volunteer before I was a member, and I remember finding a pair of Christopher Fisher cashmere black lounge pants, and I. For $6. And
$6.
Yeah. And I held them up and I said, who would get rid of these? And another woman looked at me and said, someone who has many more. And I said, you're right.
So
you can get some really great finds and books and furniture. So there anyway.
All right.
That's the LVIS in East Hampton.
Yeah. They need an online store, like an eBay store or something.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. So Love Bites also is this weekend. So that's Saturday, March 23rd at 7 p.m. at the Clubhouse to support Katie's Courage. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be top chefs and restaurants there. And then there's going to be a golf raffle and silent auction. But just looking at some of the sponsors, it's like literally the whole Hamptons is sponsoring this event. You know, Hamptons Coffee, Golden Pear, Art of Eating, Dreesen's, all just wonderful places. So, you know, you might want to do that too.
That's a fantastic, Saturday night, right? Yeah,
they got unlimited beer, wine, and tastings. And I'm sure that means you get unlimited alcohol-free beer if you want. Then it's all-inclusive ticket. It's $75 a person. There's going to be a DJ. It's at the Clubhouse. Friggin' Chef Peter Ambrose from Peter Ambrose Catering. I mean, how do you beat that? He's the best, Peter Ambrose.
That's a great event. Really, really fun event.
All right. And then...
Your DJ, Dave, DJ Michael's there.
Again. Yeah. I always wanted to be a DJ.
Oh.
But I always wanted to be a fake DJ. I always wanted to like have like a pre-recorded... night
and just stand there
but pretend like push buttons and like pretend I'm doing something. I just feel like that would be so funny, and that would be my shtick. Like everyone would know that that's my shtick. Like I wouldn't be lying I'm doing that, but my job would just be to put
it
the
would
energy
be
out.
Obvious
it's
it
not
would be
too late, Dave.
It's kind of like lip syncing
your dreams.
Yeah, it's like lip syncing but DJing.
Yeah.
You know,
you're the Milli Vanilli of DJs.
Like I feel like I'm on to something,
right?
You know,
why not?
I feel like I'm on to something.
Dave, that's not a bad idea.
What would the DJ name? DJ Dave.
DJ. So I gotta come up with something better than that.
Yeah, well, next week we expect
DJ
an answer.
Jazzy Dave or something.
You know, make it a like Jimmy Fallon does. You put it out there and you get people to write in,
exactly.
give comments, give suggestions.
So I feel like those are three really good events, unless you want to bring up a restaurant or something. I try to stick to three though. So that's what's going on this weekend in the Hamptons.
Great. All right. Good deal. Sarah, anything else to add before we wrap it up? Good information.
Thank you.
On this rule change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously if you need any clarification on that, I guess Sarah is available and she can also help you buy and sell. I guess enjoy the spring once it starts warming up. We're officially
coming
in the season.
The groundhog, I will say again, predicted an early spring. Yep. So let's just get out of March. We'll be okay.
That's it. All
We're
right.
almost out.
We're almost out.
We really are.
All right. Is this last Thursday in March?
Nope.
No. Okay, great. So we'll see you next Thursday.
In March.
Yes.
For one last time. Until then, I'm Andrew Dowd. Thanks for listening. And that's what's happening in the Hamptons.